Off top, while Haiti is regarded as the site of the only successful enslaved Black revolution, they were not accepted into the international community until they agreed to repay France for the financial costs of losing a lucrative free labor colony. As a result, Haiti has remained in debt and has never been able to build a fully functioning state. The only Haitian leader who attempted to address the unjust history was deposed in the early 1990s with the assistance of France and America. So, was it actually a successful revolution? Play the music.
This is the Dominique Foxworth Show.
Nothing to say, Charlie. No chuckles off the end of that one. No
I
fun
don't think you
times.
realize that I was a history major in college and did a ton of Caribbean and Latin American history. Wrote a thesis on economic development in the Dominican Republic and Cuba. Dominican Republic shares a lot of economic stuff with Haiti on that island. So yeah, I was up on that one.
The DR is actually like a lot more advanced and financially stable, in part because, well, in large part because of like the double debt that the was forced onto the Haitian people for the horrible crime of freeing themselves from slavery. It's kind of a wild story, and like we just talk about the some of the. I mean, I guess the point there is like one is Black History Month, and I realized that I should probably not do weird animal facts for Black History Month, so have a little transatlantic slave trade for you. But two, like we don't, it's probably true of people in the same way it's true of governments, is we don't know how places or people end up how they are. And I think the assumption when we have like Haitian immigrants is like the assumption is it's a failed state because of corruption and mismanagement. And it's probably true of a lot of failed states is that it's actually not always or it's easier. It's a much more complicated story than the ones that we want to tell. And I think that's true of like someone who's huge, an individual who's hugely successful or individual who's like in jail. And it's probably a lot more to this story than just like you lack the fortitude or the like responsibility to get it done. I don't know. I get older and I don't know. You meet more people, you see more things, you read more, and everything's not as simple as it is in the movies, as we like to say. We like to oversimplify things like this guy's a bad guy, particularly in sports. That's the best transition I got for you, is we do that a lot in sports, I think, is we like this guy's not good enough and he's a bad person, or he did this thing, it makes him terrible, and we root against them and we hate them, but it's not always that simple. So you lied to me and said there's so much to talk about this week. So before we get to it, before I test you, because I don't feel like there's that much interesting stuff to talk about, before I test you, let everybody know there's an awesome roses and thorns at the end of this. So if you stick around for that, you will be pleased. All right, Charlie.
Well, now I just want to do a full podcast on Toussaint Louverture and his
Oh,
impact.
I think his middle name is Dominique, I believe, by the way. I think it is. Check that out. Also, incredible curl you got there. It's giving real Clark Kent vibes. It's incredible.
This is no product. This is all natural.
I
Yeah, his it is Do it is Dominique. It's his middle
told
name.
you. I told you. My mom did not name me after him, but I mean, I think she technically, I guess, didn't name me after anyone, but she liked the name Dominique because Dominique Wilkins was the human highlight. And she said she didn't name me after him, but that's where she heard the name first. And it's a French name, so there's that. I mean, we can do a whole history podcast. Like, I'm fine with it. Then we'll just wait. I'll ignore the emails of the producers and executives that hate it. So,
How about this is a good tease. Sometime in March or April, when we have very little to talk about
oh,
and
yeah.
the doldrums of the season, we will go on a deep dive of the Haitian
Yeah.
Revolution.
I forgot you're actually a producer at heart. You're not a rebel like me. You, more than anyone, can't take the idea that we're not going to talk sports.
Well, let's also be fully transparent about this. That's probably a podcast we should prepare for more than I prepared for today.
100%. All right, that's fair. Good producing, Charlie.
So, how about this? I texted you a lot of ideas that range from very bad to kind of bad to maybe interesting. Let's just be transparent and I can read those ideas
Okay.
one by one. if you got something on it, let's go for it. Otherwise, we can toss it into the trash.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We all go through things socially where we don't feel like ourselves, where we don't feel like going out, where we feel drained, or we're not bursting with energy. And when you're not feeling right, that's where BetterHelp can come in. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills, how to set boundaries in so many different ways, for which it empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who experience major trauma. Therapy is for more than those people, and it's there to help you. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. It's there for you. It's there to help you. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp.
Visit BetterHelp.com/DF today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/DF.
Okay, first one. This is what I texted you. List of hottest QBs, dash, is Joe Burrow hot or cool? I thought about this initially because, you know, Jalen Hurts has got to be the hottest good quarterback since Tom Brady. Because Jimmy G was just a hot, okay quarterback at best. And then it got me thinking about Joe Burrow because everyone's like, ooh, I love Joe Shiesty. That guy's so suave. And I think he's just cool, not hot. Did you expect that to start our Super Bowl podcast?
I did not, but I'm all in for it. So I'm fine with it. I think you know me well enough to know that this is not going to make me uncomfortable. It might make some of our listeners uncomfortable, but there's one of the cool things, I guess not cool, but one of the benefits of being a man, and your attractiveness is not, it's disproportionately about other things other than looks. I found that to be my experience in life. You get a lot hotter as a man when you do certain things. You honestly, confidence is what it comes down to, at least been in my experience. It's like, if it is confidence that is real and it comes off as genuine and it's not fake, like, you go a long way. And I think that's Joe Burrow. Like, Joe Burrow is cool as shit. Like, this is what it all boils down to. Like, I'm an old man, and he, like, his coolness crosses all, like, demographics, so everyone can appreciate it. Because there are some players who are obviously cool to young people that I'm like, oh, nah, that ain't it. Like, I think DK Metcalf was wearing that pacifier, and I just remember thinking, that ain't it. But he wears it every week, and he's awesome, and I'm sure that there are lots of high school kids who got a DK pacifier because that's cool. So DK is obviously cool. I'm obviously not. But Joe Burrow just gives off this confidence. The challenging thing about celebrating Joe Burrow's cool is it's a cool that the mainstream has never really accepted until Joe Burrow started doing it. You know, like, this cocky, arrogant, like, there's so many other players that I feel like you would hear, you ain't won nothing yet. But for some reason, we all are fine. And, like, I'm not asking people to back up off of that. I like it. I would like to continue to encourage genuine personalities. But Joe Burrow is the first guy who feels like it's getting universal support for being cocky quarterback guy.
I got to say, though, he had to eat a little bit of crow last week with the everyone loving Pat Mahomes Sr. with smoking on that Joe Burrow.
Oh, yeah.
And stuff like that. People are taking pleasure in the fact that he lost.
Really?
And got to beat him. I think so, because I think that's okay. I think because he's still confident. It's not like people like hate Joe Burrow, but they're like, there you go. You talk the shit, better be able to take the hit.
Yeah. And so Jalen Hurts, I would say, just from like just raw attractiveness, like, I think he's by far. Like, I think Jalen Hurts, women appreciate Jalen Hurts, and he looks like an R&B. Well, yeah, like, he just gives off lead singer, R&B group, and it's also that confidence and coolness, and like moms of kids at my kid's school, like, talk about Jalen Hurts. Like, who's that guy? Who's the Philly quarterback?
That happened with Carrie, my fiance. He took off his helmet on the sideline, and she was like, that's Jalen Hurts. He's so pretty. And then I looked at her, and me being my doughy pasty self, I was like, you've only ever said that about Cam Newton and Jalen Hurts. This isn't looking good for me.
Well, you better hurry up and get to the courthouse and get this done before a light-skinned brother comes up to your front door with six-pack abs and says, hey, Carrie, how you doing?
Exactly.
All right. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I actually find that topic kind of interesting and entertaining. And yeah, Jalen Hurts, I think, it jumps off the screen, but I think honestly, for all football players and people who watch football, like, it's not the first thing that comes to your mind, but you do hear the way people react to him. And you said Tom Brady, like, I never got that vibe about women talking about Tom Brady.
Yeah.
Or men or anybody. Like,
Boston dude, you didn't hang out with enough dudes from New England. Boston dudes loved to like say how handsome Tom Brady was.
Oh, really?
But should we talk about the thirst trap for a second over here?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. Well, I mean, he's handsome back to my first point. He's handsome because he's good as hell at football. But anyway, yeah. Why is he on the internet trying to sell underwear like this?
This man is close to getting his AARP card, and he is posting sitting on a bed in a condo in Miami where his, first of all, I don't know if you zoomed in on that picture, but his dog is in the background looking out the window being like, why is this old man doing this and not taking me out? It is 75 degrees and sunny. That's like the ultimate divorce dad energy. I was surprised to see that because, like, Tom, you don't got to do that.
Yeah. So I'm going to give Tom Brady some leniency for the next few years because we talked about this some last episode. Transitions are hard for everybody. And this is going to be an incredible transition at a non-transition age. Like, it's going to be a lot, and it's going to be hard for him. And no one can help you through this. I mean, I guess people can help you through this, but no one can do this transition for you. He's going to have to like find a new identity. And part of this process may be taking pictures in your underwear for everyone to see. I don't know. So it's funny, but it might get worse, Charlie. I'm just saying it might get worse.
One piece of advice so it doesn't get worse. Tom, keep the underwear on. You don't know who you're sending the pictures to.
That's fair. Don't Brett Favre it out here. We can't. Well, that there's a lot of things that means, but I think it's safe to say generally, do not Brett Favre for anyone. Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom, Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good. The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur. Barnstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
There's one thing. I texted you just a blank line that said Super Bowl superlatives. And that was a terrible idea because it's just so broad. But the one thing I do want to ask you about is, what do you think is going to be? We talked on Debatable last night, that's out now and is good, about the storylines through the week. What do you think the most interesting thing could come out of this game being?
The most interesting thing to come out of this game, it's the quarterbacks, right? Like, I feel like it's either Jalen Hurts, like, elevates to some incredible level that we haven't seen him in the playoffs yet. And then we have to, like, because even though we're talking about him as, like, he's one of the best quarterbacks, he's not actually treated like he is in that class for a number of reasons. So I think a big showcase, right, like that in this situation would force us to elevate him to Mahomes level. And then the other thing is if Patrick Mahomes puts the Chiefs on his back, and then we have to have these conversations. I guess we don't have to have any conversation other than just general appreciation for his greatness. And he's already, at this point in his career, we're already having legacy conversations and measuring him against other quarterbacks. Those, I think, are probably the two potential most interesting things that could come out of the Super Bowl. What do you think?
So I think Mahomes, to me, no matter what, like, he's top five quarterback of all time. I saw Orlovsky's list. I think that's right. There's not like, he's only going to climb for me over time. I think that
Orlovsky had him at two, right?
He had him at two. My personal list, I have him at four right now, but we can get into that another time. It's pretty good for 5 years into his career. He was going to probably end up at number one, but a lot of meat left on that bone. So for me, the Jalen Hurts one is, I don't think he's going to get elevated into the Mahomes tier. What I think is going to happen is I think he's going to take Josh Allen's corner. I think we all didn't realize that this is actually the best of, I mean, I think Josh Allen right now is a better football player, but this is the best developmental case that we've seen. So we thought another Josh Allen thing was impossible. And like, Jalen Hurts has improved more in the last 24 months than any quarterback other than Josh Allen we've really ever seen. And I think we're going to look up and be like, this dude's awesome. And he is just scratching the surface. Because I feel like a broken record, but this dude is such a smart processing quarterback with command of the offense that all the physical stuff is just going to keep improving.
Right. The improvement that he's made, I guess you base it on the type of player he was when he came into the league, but you can push back on who's had the bigger improvement by pointing out that Jalen Hurts won a Heisman Trophy and played at Alabama. Was a finalist and played at Alabama in Oklahoma. And Josh Allen was not great at Wyoming. So him going from not great at Wyoming to being one of the best quarterbacks, either way, it's probably a pointless debate. I think it's fair to put Jalen Hurts' improvement in that category. And I think I throw out lots of interesting theories, but this reminds me of one that I think is very true. Is quarterbacks are developed, and the best thing you can do for a quarterback is put him in a good situation and take the pressure off of him while he's learning and getting better. And Jalen Hurts is the perfect example of that. And having some running ability is Josh Allen's example of that. But if you can put a player in, going to get Stephon Diggs, if you can put a player, a highly touted, it doesn't even have to be a top five quarterback, just like a quarterback with skills and obviously all the intangible stuff like willing to work hard and smart and whatever. If you can put that guy in a good situation, chances are he's going to develop into a good quarterback. I firmly believe that most of the quarterbacks that we consider busts and failures is in large part because they got a bad start to their career and they can never really recover from that. They were put in a bad situation, bad coaching, bad teammates, bad game plan, or there was too much asked of them and their confidence is ruined and their timeline is ruined. All that, that's, and that goes back to like the beginning of the year. I caught heat for saying that Justin Fields should demand a trade, but that's what I was watching. I was like, y'all about to ruin this man. And like, we see all this ability, you're on the verge of ruining this man and in his whole career, which is why I stand by anybody who wants to pull the Eli Manning, the John Elway, where you refuse to go to the team that drafts you. If you have the leverage to do it, more power to you, because Eli, perfect example. He's a Hall of Famer now. And I'm not sure that had he gone to a different situation, if the outcome would have been the same.
Yeah. And on Justin Fields, I mean, that's something I'm actually looking forward to talking about more, because he's the person who looks like they could take a massive leap next year. If the situation is built out right around him, and like, he needs wide receivers, he needs weapons.
You think they should trade the number one pick or draft a D tackle?
You know, I thought it was really interesting that they basically leaked it to Albert Breer that they were going to trade the number one pick. And you raised the point that it's like, you got to make Justin Fields as comfortable as possible. But I guess from my perspective, couldn't you just pull him aside and be like, hey, don't fucking tell anyone, but we're going to trade this pick, but we're going to pretend like we're not, so we can get as many offers as possible. Like, just to see how high we can get it. You know what? I would. I'm Jalen Carter, unless you turn into Aaron Donald, I'd probably rather have more assets and the ability to trade for people that can help develop my quarterback.
Yeah, I'm with you. I mean, Jalen Carter, I mean, Aaron Donald wasn't Aaron Donald in college. Like, no one expected him to be that. Jalen Carter could very well be that. And they could trade down and still get Jalen Carter, but it's the risk. I mean, I think you need to build up around them. And building up around them is not just offensively. It's also like you take pressure off them by having a good defense so they don't have to go score for score with everyone. And Jalen, if Jalen, I mean, I'm of two minds, but I think where I come down on this is you have to be humble enough to know that you're going to be wrong a lot. So the best thing you can do is to trade back and hopefully pick up a couple more first round picks or a couple more picks in the first couple, first three rounds, I guess. And keep taking shots and hope that you land one of these guys. But if you feel adamant that Jalen Carter is the type of guy that can be a centerpiece, then it's like,
I mean,
you would trade all the stuff that you got to get an Aaron Donald, you know, or to get Chris Jones. And if you think that he can be something like that, which I haven't gotten into my draft prep yet, so I don't know. I don't have an opinion on him yet, but I know everyone thinks he's great. Like Fletcher Cox, I think, is the popular comp, which
yeah, is
pretty damn good.
Also, he looks really cool wearing number 88. And he, you know what, he carries other human beings in the SEC. Literally carries them. That's awesome.
Swimsuit, check. Sunscreen, check. Phone charger, check. Don't forget to pack the 5-hour energy. It fits great in a pocket or in a carry-on. And the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5hourenergy.com. Expires April 30th. One time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5hourenergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
So there's only one more here that I really want to bring up. And it's a pivot to basketball. Where this is on Tuesday. You guys have heard hours and hours and hours. You've heard hours and hours of Kyrie. I want to ask you, number one, Kevin Durant aficionado, who, like, we all agree at the bottom, he's a top 15 player of all time. At the top, you can put him anywhere, you know, seven-ish. Should he ask for a trade right now, before Thursday? Should he leverage them to get out of this situation?
I think it's both ways. Should he ask for a trade or should the Nets
want
to trade him? Like, I think a full reset would be smart for everyone, but I guess it depends on where you think you can go and what you think you can get out of it. If what Kevin Durant was after, which it seemed like what he was after, was like the credibility that comes with being the air quotes bus driver, which, like, I hate all of that, but it does feel like Kevin Durant cares about it.
Mm-hmm.
If that's the case, then no, he shouldn't force his way out. If that's all he cares about, it seems like the worst is behind him in Brooklyn, I would think. Like, Harden's gone.
Really stable now. They have a lot of pros.
Harden's gone. Kyrie's gone. Whatever distractions you had there, like, the worst is behind you in Brooklyn. And right now you're clearly the centerpiece of a team that could potentially play well around you being the sun at the middle of this solar system. So if I'm Kevin Durant, I don't see the reason for forcing a trade right now, because where do you force a trade to? You force a trade to someone who's a title contender, and then you win a championship, your finals MVP, and you still have the same "you're not the bus driver" BS that, like, people hang on him, despite the fact that he was clearly the best player on those Warriors teams. So I would say no. And I think if I'm the Nets, I wouldn't be trying to get rid of him either, because he's great. And great players are hard to come by. And he's also seemingly, like, emotionally stable. So, like, and somewhat logical, and you can build around him. So if he forces his way out, I'm the Nets, I might capitulate. But it doesn't seem like the incentive, given everything that's happened recently, it seems like everyone has put the tough stuff behind them, and they're in great shape with a great team, with a good team that has the potential to be great. Like, we can't forget that a team with Kevin Durant at the centerpiece of it, with Harden and Kyrie hurt, were still incredibly competitive in the playoffs a few years ago. That's the KD big toe shot.
Yeah.
From knocking off the eventual champs, the Bucks.
Yeah. And, you know, I agree. I think you could game it out that if you're Kevin Durant, if you can somehow force a trade by Thursday, teams won't have scrounged together the assets and the packages that they will over the summer. And you could end up in a really good situation where you haven't depleted the cupboard around you, which might happen if this is a longer term negotiation over the summer. On the other end, I'm with you. I think he cares. He's pretty authentic. It's one of the best things about Kevin Durant. And I think he wants to be in a situation that's his. I think, you know, he left Golden State, left the best team of all time to do this. And now he has a bunch of professional basketball players on the team, plus Ben Simmons. And it's got a lot of 2011 Mavericks vibes, though. But, like, seriously, like, when Kevin Durant was playing great that year and they lost to the Bucks, Nick Claxton wasn't second in the Defensive Player of the Year odds. You know, they didn't have Seth Curry yet. Seth Curry, who's now going to be useful again because he's not another small guard around Kyrie. This is a really interesting team. And the East, we pretend, is not wide open, but it is much more wide open. The Bucks haven't been good for most of the year. We don't trust Embiid and Harden in the playoffs.
You don't.
I mean, do you?
Yeah, I'm not willing to go that far.
And the Celtics, who are seem to be the clear best team in the conference, Stephen A. Smith is already being like, don't rule out them offering Jaylen Brown for Kevin Durant. It's like, oh, cool. You're going to undermine the team that's been the best team in the NBA this season. Let's see how that goes.
That'd be ridiculous. Yeah. All right. Well, I'm looking forward to the playoffs. Hopefully KD stays put. You're right. Those were good topics.
Yeah.
Appreciate you, Charlie. Yeah, that was better than I thought. All right. On to Roses and Thorns. He's so good.
How has Dominique been lately?
Bad or good?
Let's find out. This is Roses and Thorns.
All right. Roses and Thorns. I didn't say it. I just didn't say it. I just said Roses and Thorns with Ashley. I appreciate the sweatshirt. I didn't know. I should have worn my sweatshirt too.
It's pre-V-Day week, guys. I celebrate B-Day. As in
celebrate everything.
Day. I celebrate everything. But I celebrate it like starting like 2 weeks ago. But I'm just trying to get into the spirit now. So I mentioned I got sweatshirts printed before. Don't worry. I have plenty of more stuff to wear throughout the week. Like, but this one is a pink sweatshirt and it has a sweetheart on it that says Dominique inside because he's just my heart, you know.
I have one too that was ordered for me, one of my awesome gifts.
Is it weird that I got it for you with my own name?
No, it's maybe it will be weird for somebody else, but it's not weird for you. So I'm not sure. I thought we were done doing Roses and Thorns because we had kind of that premise had run its course. But I understand you have roses and thorns. You also had, like, I feel like you got a lot to talk about.
I'm a rule follower. The segment is still called Roses and Thorns. Didn't you just start saying this called Roses and Thorns?
No, we can still call it Roses and Thorns because you are the rose in our relationship and I am the thorn.
Oh, that is so cute. You are not, though. Actually, my rose for you, if I were to have one this week, it would be, and it's like just totally like, I'm not pulling it up, forcing it. It's very legitimate that you are so much better at all of our kids, well, particularly our oldest two with our youngest. We don't really have to do this yet, but at giving them like pep talks and like knowing the right things to say to them at the right time. And it's ironic because you sometimes say that like I'm better socially than you are, which is probably true in some ways, excuse me, at least surface level socially or more than surface. But like you, I think just really know, even though they're my children, I know them well, I love them. When I'm in a moment where like I'm frustrated with them or where they're having trouble, I don't always know the exact way to communicate what they need to hear to them, you know, like whether it's they need some tough love right now or they need just really gentleness or like an example of kindness and calm. You're better at that than I am. And you're really, really good at it.
You're with them a lot more often than I am. And
I have
noticed,
no effing patience, guys.
Yeah. I mean, it's not that you don't have any patience. It's that they tax your patience. And oftentimes, I know the examples that you're talking about this weekend, I can think of them. And I had the advantage of getting tagged in. It's a lot easier when you're tagged in from the sideline of an emotional
situation.
Yeah, but
no, not when we were outside playing basketball with the older two and new to give Declan the like positive encouragement to keep going. Yeah. And you knew that Avery could benefit from from some tough love and throwing the ball at her a little harder and trash talk. I was like, you're right. That is consistently true of them. That the trash talk, even though Declan loves to give the trash talk doesn't always inspire him to do better. Whereas with Avery, even though she's so gentle in some ways and so sweet and kind, the trash talk actually, motivates her. So, and it's honestly something that once you said it, I was like, oh, duh.
But I still haven't figured out how to coach Avery though. I don't really coach any, literally, I refuse to be a coach of any of their teams, but I'm a good athlete. So you would think that they would come to me and seek some advice, but they do not. And Avery actively shuts down if I tell her anything. She's good at things, but she actively shuts down. So I have to get her to realize her own coaching. She shoots beelines at the hoop, and it's you got to put some air under it. You have a better chance of hitting it. It's basic geometry. So I just started putting my hands up real high and making her shoot over me. Cause when I told her put some air under it, she looked at me like I was stupid and started throwing it even lower. And I was like, okay. But Declan actually, surprisingly, counter to what his personality tends to be, he actually is open to coaching, direct coaching, as long as he gets results though. I mean, when it comes to sports, at least.
Except for, it was just the other day where you were working with him on, we're not working with him, y'all just playing catch, and you gave him a pointer about something about I'm going to get a problem, something about catching it over the shoulder. And you were he was like,
yeah, that's
let me
true.
Show you how that to catch true. Over the that shoulder. Is true. Yeah. And shoot, you would know, you play defense, y'all know how to catch over the shoulder. What can you teach him? Speaking of, we were talking about basketball at first, both of our kids. The little boy is his first year since kindergarten playing basketball this year. And if you ask him, my parents ask him, hey, Dad, what position are you playing in basketball this year? He literally says defense. He thinks that you can just go out and play defense. And Avery now too, she's getting kind of scared to shoot it more so than she used to be. So now she's like, I just really like being good at defense. I feel like that makes you proud that they value defense.
Oh yeah. I mean, they're both really good athletes. So that helps when you can stay in front of most kids, but Deck actually, he didn't hit his shots, but he took some good shots last week because he normally doesn't want to shoot. But after we practiced shooting, he got up some really good shots. I was proud of him. And he had a very impressive soccer game. So they've had, I don't know, four soccer games this year. And he scored one goal.
Got back playing soccer. He hadn't played soccer since first grade.
He scored one goal and he tends to want to play goalie. He scored one goal in all four of the games. And this one, the fifth game, he scored four goals and they didn't let him play goalie. And of course, being the consummate entertainer that he is, he did airplane after three of the goals. And after one of the goals, he went over to the ref and offered the ref a high five with a big smile on his face. Of course, the ref threatened to yellow card him, and Declan decided that was the funniest thing ever and ran back. And I was, all the parents cracking up. I'm embarrassed. I mean, I guess I can't be embarrassed anymore because I'm not surprised by it, but it's his defense was, I'm out there to have fun. And I can't push back against that. I actually respect that.
So this weekend, guys, me decided to expose my children to the important cultural phenomenon of Homie the Clown. And Declan really loved Homie the Clown. He was into these. I was like, hey, Mom,
he loved Martin too. We watched Martin last week. Also, we watched Ace Ventura, and I don't know if we talked about when we watched Clueless with the girls, and how it's you think Clueless, you don't think it's inappropriate, but things that were okay for us to laugh at and talk about back then are not now. And Ace Ventura, I forgot that the whole premise of the main joke of the whole movie is a man transitioned, and it's just a laugh riot how ridiculous it is, and oh my gosh, they kissed, and it's all the jokes
were pretty liberal though, so that part was lost for him, the comedy there. He's like, eh, people do that.
Yeah, it's funny though to look at it with kids who are growing up now and are exposed to a lot more, yeah, liberal or progressive worldview. It's so interesting watching them like either get the jokes or not appreciate the jokes. Oh, my daughter has been wanting to see White Chicks too, so we watched White Chicks. We had just a cultural immersion, just
really growth. Great parenting going on over here. And the one we're saying is inappropriate is Ace Ventura, not Homie, not Martin.
Yeah, I mean, Ace Ventura was, it was definitely the most inappropriate.
Was, but he was dying, like the parts other than that part.
Martin wasn't really, I mean, Martin is not really, I can't, I mean, I haven't seen it all, I guess. But the episodes that we watched, it was like, yeah, it's just silliness. It was nothing that was just like culturally insensitive. But I think that's probably the most recent. And I guess White Chicks was more recent. And that was whew,
so weird stuff. I started on this, though, was I was like, how we exposed him to this. Do we need to get like a highlight reel of all of Ocho Cinco's best antics and expose Zach into it as part of his cultural education? It would give him even more fire for his game.
Yeah. Yeah. He is an entertainer. I remember all his football celebrations. I'm happy like he got good at football because he was not good and was still having a bunch of fun like a few years ago. And now,
and to be clear, it's not because he cares about his kids being good athletes. I'm sorry. I just want to. It's not like you care. Like I want my son to be like.
Oh, no. I don't care.
No, that's not why.
I don't care at all. I'd honestly rather him not play football. But and he only plays flag now. But like it's all. Yeah, it's like you're going to back it up. I can't stop you from doing it. Because like it's nothing that's egregious, but like back it up. And I remember like not growing up, but when I was playing in the league, I would listen to people complain about how the players setting a bad example by doing certain things. And my response always was like, be a parent. And now I kind of understand like.
Yeah, but he doesn't even necessarily, other than the gritty, he loves.
To yeah,
gritty.
Yeah, yeah. No, other I just mean like.
Learn behaviors from watching.
That's the thing. It's like none of it. It's not taunting.
Oh, so Sequel's probably doing that stuff when he was.
Except for that one game, he was really taunty because those guys bullied him in camp. And I was proud of that taunting. Honestly, he went to one football camp and he went to two football camps last year. He's got a few differences, and the kids were giving him a hard time. And so
about things that are.
And he hated that camp. And then he played those two kids in the regular season and went off for like 3 touchdowns and interception. And the whole time he popping shit. And I was like, I was kind of hype. Honestly, it's the only time they ended up losing that game, but I could care less. I was like, yeah, tell them little kids.
Camp, like crying in the bathroom stall. So like, yeah. I was fine with his talk that day. But yes, generally we're working on it, but we're not because I'm about to put a Ocho Cinco highlight reel together for him so he can get some new tricks and he'll be ready.
I love it. He'd be a leading scorer of basketball if he could just get a layup because he gets like 6 steals a game, fast breaks, boom.
Off but the half the time, court. Just gets down there. He's like, "Oh my god, now I have the ball."
Yeah, pass it to one of the kids that actually wants to shoot. Anyway, what else you got? Or you want to call it now and save?
No,
stuff
I have something good. That I thought of last week, and this is actually I'm going to put you on the spot. I feel bad because I should have warned you about this so I could at least know. Are you familiar with the Love Languages book?
I'm familiar with it. I'm familiar with it. I like it as a concept.
Okay, good. That's all you do is know the concept. If I'm honest, I've never read it, which is another thing. I feel like we start reading books together. Like maybe this is where we start. Not that I feel like we need it, but when we talked last week about showing up, how like I felt bad about times I didn't show up for you and you didn't show up for me and like you wouldn't feel bad about that and you didn't think that anything was wrong with it when I didn't. But anyway, so it made me think about love languages. So afterwards, I went online. Really, I went online to order the book, even though I think we have it somewhere in the house. Did I order the book? No. Should I have? Do I need to read more? Yes. But I didn't order the book. Instead, I did a test, a quiz, like, what is your love language? I was actually a bit surprised by mine, by what the quiz said it was. And I feel like I might have been, well, I think actually the results weren't like borderline. I think on my phone.
I'm going to look them up so I can try to guess what the potential love languages are. Because, like, I think it's a good concept.
I can tell you what the different ones are.
No, okay, go ahead.
Quality time, physical touch, words of affirmation, acts of service, or receiving gifts.
Oh, that's it? It's only a few? Okay. Well, what about 6, all of the above?
Well, I really was having trouble. I actually was borderline between 2 of them now that I look more closely. And I was honestly close on a lot of them.
I know what mine is. Like, I think you'd
you
be
know
pretty...
without, you know because you took a quiz. I'm sorry.
No, no, not because I took the quiz. Like, anyway, I think it's a good concept generally for all relationships, like work relationships, like understanding how to communicate with somebody, father to child relationships. It's like knowing what you're communicating to them. And I think honestly, more importantly, is understanding that what you think you're communicating is not always what you're communicating by doing certain things. But I feel like mine is acts of service. Like, I'm never more happy than when there's some sort of act of service for me from you.
I was thinking that too. Taking care of out there. Sorry. I was thinking that too. However, and this is something that pisses me off because I think that we can call this the thorn today. Let's just call it the thorn. When I try to do stuff for you, like if you see me, like I'm going to go do this. I'm going to get the kids right now. I'm making breakfast. Let me make you some. You are like, you fight it so much. And it really annoys me because, and I know those are small things. And so maybe it's just that those aren't the things that you want. And certainly I do other things for you, but sometimes I feel like so often when I try to do things for you, you like rebuff it. And so, which really kind of got me annoyed when I was thinking about this earlier in the week or last week, I guess it was, I was like, because I really feel like acts of service is his, but he don't let me do them sometimes or a lot of the time. Like, so I have to like secretly do things for you because you're always so like, no, you have enough to do with the kids. Like, I got this. But, like, I want to do things for you as a way of showing you, even a small thing like making you breakfast, as a way of showing you that I love you, because I do believe that, you know, you are an acts of service person. But you don't let me sometimes, and that really frustrates me.
All right. I'll let you do more things. I think, honestly, it's more about, like, and this might make me seem like an asshole, but it's more about sacrifice than anything. It's like, it's less so, like, you're making breakfast, so you're going to make me some breakfast, too, does not feel like an act
sometimes
of service.
Sometimes I make you breakfast when I'm not even making me breakfast.
Right, I know. And, like, you're making me breakfast, it, like, to me, it feels like a burden, especially if you're not making it. So, like, it feels...
Well, then it's a sacrifice. There you go. I'm sacrificing.
Yeah. But I feel like an asshole. And I think the acts of service, I don't know. Maybe. All right. I'll do better.
I thought you
I'll
were saying you liked acts of service because, or the reason you think it's your love language is because sacrifice is so.
Yeah. Like, I don't know. It's sacrifice. Like, it's an expression. It's a true expression that, like, I mean, you can tell me you love me all you want, but like, taking all the kids out to go ice skating so I can have the thing that I love more than anything is alone time.
It is his favorite thing.
And when you do stuff like that, I'm like, God damn, she loves
it. I went to sleep in the guest room last night, guys, because I had my little, I'm much better. My cold is healed. I'm on an inhaler. But when I first lay down at night, I coughed some. And he had gone to bed early and I could tell I woke him up and it was kind of bothering him. And I said, you know what? There's a really comfortable guest room bed upstairs. I'm just going to go upstairs so I'm not feeling bad about coughing. Did that count as an act of service or did it not count? Because I already woken you up and you couldn't get back to sleep.
At the moment, it didn't count for because you had already woken me up and I was kind of annoyed.
That was really getting my thorn, how mean you are when you're woken up.
Mean. But then this morning, I appreciated it. So thank you. So what did it say your love language was so I can know?
You have to guess.
Oh, I mean, yeah, it's hard to pick. I feel like you would, gifts is not it.
See, me too. And I was so happy with that. That actually was my last one. Like my lowest.
I mean, you don't actually care about gifts because you buy yourself all the shit you want anyway.
No,
so, like,
Dominique, no.
You don't care about gifts. That, and like, no, I mean, you like.
Because you're saying it just like in a way where I still.
And so like, I don't think that like buying you something expensive or buying you something fancy, or I mean, even like something small, I guess if it was really thoughtful, you would appreciate it, but that doesn't feel like
a
gift.
Yeah, and I do appreciate them. Don't get me wrong.
Like, oh, yeah, you always appreciate it, but it doesn't feel like you're never like, oh my God, it's all like, yeah, it's nothing I mean, even if I could buy you something that you really, really never could have thought of or wanted, I don't think you would feel that way. Physical touch is in the running for sure. Acts of service, I wouldn't put up there. Words of affirmation is up there. Quality time is up there. You said you were surprised. Well, I'm not going to try to guess what you got. I'll say which one I would think it is. I think it's not words of affirmation. I think it's physical touch.
That was close. It's quality time. And
damn. That's what I got it down in those two.
Sort it out. It kept like asking, like, would you rather be holding his hand in public or just like have time with him? Would you rather like, so it was like, it was really had trouble trying to figure out like, would you rather be physically intimate or And I mean, some of them, honestly, I was going back and forth. Like, it was real hard for it to sort out because I really like
both or whatever. I think I went with physical touch in part because it's one of the hardest things for me personally. Like, I don't really love cuddling. I don't really like holding hands. And like, it, because of that, I know that you really value it even more because it like feels like some sort of sacrifice for me. So that's probably why I went with there, because quality time is up there.
But you know what's interesting too, and so I'll wrap up that part. So I was thinking of all these like since it's only been a month, but I've had a cold most of this year, I would say, or like, or just the first weekend of the year, we just didn't go out. We were, so like, we went out New Year's Eve, and then we kind of were just in the playoffs. So like, we were just on, he has this really big, comfortable, like love sack sectional bed couch thing in the basement where he is right now, where he watches football games and stuff, his medium room. We just spent all our weekends, other than at kids' sports games, laying on that and cuddling. So when I was thinking of quality time, like, I was like, yes, like that has been, I love that more than anything. Or like even the times like where, and you know, I haven't been much of a traveler, but when I can get like in and out, so one-on-one time with you, like if it's a staycation or if it's like kids are to sleep over, like those are some of my favorite times. So once I saw it, it made sense to me, but I was kind of surprised at first because I was thinking
it was
something else.
Love languages change some, because I do appreciate quality time a lot more than I used to. But still.
Me too. And that's what I was thinking. And I think they change, and like, we adapt to each other in some ways. Like I probably.
Or you don't. And then you get a divorce. So I guess we better keep adapting.
I value touch sometimes more now, but at the same time, like, it's not, I'm like, ew, I see what he means. You get really hot when you're cuddling for too long. This is miserable. So
when like, when I said touch, and we can end it on this point because you're going to get uncomfortable. When I said touch,
what watch me not get uncomfortable. Of, look at my face. Go ahead.
What I was thinking of was like smacks and passing. Just
I love smacks and passing.
Yeah, it's like, it's not as a part of anything.
And it's here's like, honestly the main reason, because I don't have much of a
just
butt.
Walking by. As I just
I'm
walking
like,
by.
Tap, tap. Little butt.
And
thank
I know
you.
That you appreciate it. It's, I mean, I wouldn't consider it little. But thank anyway.
Thank you. Because I've gained some weight.
More to love. All right.
More to love.
Exactly. All right.
I love you.
I love you too.
Happy pre-V day. Well, next segment. Normally I'm like, I don't know if we'll be back next week. We will be back next week because it'll be Valentine's Day. And he better wear one of his Valentine's Day outfits.
I will wear them both. All right. Bye, Ashley. I love you. Thank you. Appreciate you, Christina Buslow, Adi Khan, Sarah Abbott, and Charlie too.
This is the Dominique Foxworth Show.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.